The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, listen.
Get over here.
He's on fire.
We should knock that out.
Here to knock it out and get it over with, yeah. Once again, are your hosts Michael Swaim
and Adam Ganser.
Yeah. We are known as one-upsmanship.
Yes, we are.
In this context.
Sure.
In the cruelest context. And got to start with the T.S. Eliot quote right up top. And today we're talking about
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
That's right.
Which has won many Game of the Year awards.
Okay.
Have you been tracking that?
A
lot of them.
Only that Goat Simulator won one of them, which I loved because it allowed them to release a special edition called the Goatee Edition.
Great.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done on those puns.
Game of actually the year.
Sure.
Yeah. Game of all the years.
Did you want to do the speed run on Legend of Zelda?
It's my turn. It's my toin, ain't it?
It's your toin, yeah.
Okay, that takes us very quickly to our first checkpoint. The speed run.
Yeah. We got our standing scoreboard and timer. It's gonna start right about.
Yeah, where did we get it from this week, Adam?
This week we stole it from USC's, the bowl where they play all those games at. Yeah, I just went there, took it. Right for my alma mater.
They might miss that.
I don't think so.
All right, we'll see.
I don't think so. If they want their loans repaid.
We better get it done quick then.
That's right, yeah.
So this is your speed run for Legend of Brelda, Zeth of the Mild.
Yes.
It's getting off to a great start. Okay, you know Zelda. Zelda's the one where this weird old man gives you a toy and you're like, thank you, old man. And you venture out into the world to see what happens to you as a young elfin boy. But now, fast forward all the way to the current console, the Nintendo Switch, Zelda Breath of the Wild features yet again another iteration of the unkillable cycle, narrative cycle that is Link rising to embody the Triforce, take down Ganon of some form, and save Zelda. Although in this one, he's not saving her so much, which is a nice little twist I'm sure we'll get into. And basically, it's getting talked about mostly, I would say, for how incredibly flawless it is. It's just so competently made. Everyone pretty much loves it across the board. It has incredibly high reviews. And like all Zelda games, you're wandering around, or like most recent Zelda games, the core ones, you're wandering around an open world, notably with your hang glider more than your horse this time. And basically killing things, gathering items, combining those items to level up your gear, to kill more things, to kill Ganon at the end. And he's in some kind of castle, and he's usually a boar. Yeah.
Fair enough. That really verged on being a hot take. That was like pretty close
How
to a
so?
Hot take. There was opinion words in there, but I liked it.
I didn't mean to cast an opinion.
But I liked
Did
it.
Did I already? Is it seeping out?
I just think I think you are evidence that the existential problem of a priori categories remains, my friend. There's no way to not have a filter.
Explain what you mean by a priori category. Like,
oh, this content.
Or are you just saying that one cannot speak without a point of view?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That is all I mean. I meant it in the Kantian sense.
I'll have to re-listen and see what I said. But, because I don't know. I don't fully know. I'm going to figure it out, I think, a little bit this episode.
About how you feel about this
game? I have strong points of view about individual yes. parts, but
yeah.
I'm torn on, like, I don't know how I'm going to vote at the end of the episode.
Oh,
that's
interesting. So I think it's only fair to add a disclosure to the audience. We have already talked about this game.
No, now you're ruining the... I just said that I'm not sure it's going to come to us spontaneously. You're blowing up my spot, man.
I apologize. You remove all of this if you want.
No, it's funny, so we'll keep it. That's fair. Say again, yes.
So
this is the one and only topic we've covered
yeah,
before.
Yeah, so Mike and I were building a podcast for Cracked before we decided not to do that. And the only episode of that we recorded was about Breath of the Wild, which is why we were a little bit reluctant to come back and do that as our first episode, because mm-hmm. we had more firm opinions. But there's been DLCs since then.
Not only that, but we've changed the format of the show so that we can't be sued.
Yes.
So I think it'll take a different form.
I think that's true.
And I think if you remember the first time we recorded it, my vote was like not strong. It's not GTA 5, which I had a very strong opinion
you
on.
You sure did.
I wasn't clear. At the end, I was like, I reluctantly am going to say this. So I'm just saying I'm open to being convinced.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's time to get into the next level.
Yeah.
I believe it is a sand world. And this is where we
give... Yeah, this is Gerudo Desert. We're going right
okay,
there first.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this is where we give our sort of hot or cold takes.
Yeah.
In the forms of player one and player two, I believe. I did the speed run that makes you player one.
That's
this
player
time.
One.
So I'm going to zip it for
okay,
a minute.
Okay, so here are the most controversial opinions I have about this one. This is the second best Zelda game ever made behind Ocarina of Time for me. I prefer it to Link from the Past. I prefer it to Wind Waker. I prefer it to Majora's Mask. This game is as radical as if GTA 5 had decided to be Far Cry. That's how big of a change in structure this game is from all of its predecessors.
Only interrupting to clarify.
Go ahead.
I assume you're omitting Link appearances in, you mean the... You know what I mean? Like
just
the flagship
in the
Link games?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Just out of the Zelda games.
Right, no Melee, no Mario Kart. Other stuff like that.
No, but I think I would still pick Breath of the Wild over those franchises, personally.
Over the Smash Brothers franchise?
I think I would. I also really like Zelda.
Well, that's for another day. Continue your rant.
That's fair enough. I think this game doesn't have a super satisfying narrative, and I've tried to like it, and I think the DLCs, which decided to spend a little more time in the narrative, actually made it worse. And more convoluted. But I do think that this is one of the best games I've ever played from Nintendo, personally. And it didn't have the same nostalgia for me that it has for a lot of people. I don't have like a lot of baked-in feelings about Zelda the way that a lot of people do.
And you still liked it this much. Yeah.
I still liked it this much. Yeah, exactly. I also think that because this game came out in the same month, essentially, as Horizon Zero Dawn, that Horizon Zero Dawn's impact was severely harmed by it because there's some similarities, and that sucks because I thought Horizon Zero Dawn was also a great game and could have been game of the year in another year, but it wasn't. I think after this, going back to mission structures for Zelda will be impossible, and not being able to climb in all games ever is stupid. This game proved that you need to be able to climb everything.
What do you mean by not being going back to mission structure?
I mean that if you go back to the gated experience that Zelda has been in its previous iterations, that it will be unsatisfying because of this game. I think this game changes what that series can be.
All right, well, I'll ask more about that later.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
When we get to the water level.
The water temple, if you will.
Oh, God, I hope not. This episode will never end. We won't get out alive, man.
Not without a guide, which you don't want for a podcast. No. I think that's really all there is to say. I don't think that the attempt to introduce a more feminist Zelda paid off. I do not think they accomplished that attempt. And I thought that Ganon was worse in this incarnation than any of the previous ones I can remember, and that still thought this game was better than most of them. That's how much I like the gameplay. That's it.
Player two, ranting at you from the rant box. I liked all the things you said about it, and you have a pretty face while you say it.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to highlight points of disagreement, because generally, yes, I agree. I think that Nintendo, much like Marvel in some ways, although Marvel still takes chances in a bad way. Like, they'll fuck with their
formula.
They
fuck things up, yeah.
They'll be like, I thought you knew the formula. Just do it. Like, clearly you're just trying to do the formula, and you still had this weird thing with Thor in a bathtub. Like, why? but Nintendo, the formula, it's like, it's Colonel's recipe. It is perfected and not going to change. And I do feel that Breath of the Wild presents the most perfected, boiled-down version of Zelda we've ever seen. And everything is perfectly balanced. The additions are very gentle additions and are all very thoroughly thought through and good additions. The things that are different, like the idea that it's going to be a series of puzzle rooms, which is slightly different than the kinds of challenges you'd be doing in the past.
Yeah.
Those additions are not too invasive and blah, 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 blah. So everything about this toy works great.
Mm-hmm.
And then my big complaint is Nintendo only makes toys, not games.
Yeah.
And for me, that puts me like dead center on the fence, because not only do I think the attempt to make Princess Zelda like a fully fleshed out and progressive female presence failed, I don't think there's even really an attempt. Like, I don't even, I give them so little credit. Like, Link literally doesn't speak because they're so terrified that the fans' nostalgia sheen would wash away if they cast the wrong voice actor or he said words wrong, that he can't talk. Like, he can't talk.
I gotta come back to that.
Insane to me. And Pixar also tries to make broad human-based jokes so that they can ship internationally, but they still give the characters lines in the movie. And like, the characters can even have points of view or unique characteristics. This will have like a climactic story beat that is Link takes several steps towards Zelda, who's in grief. Fade to black. Was he going to comfort her? Is he in love with her? Was he just being her bodyguard? No one knows, because there's nothing there.
That's true.
There's no answer, because he's a cipher. He doesn't speak.
Yeah. That's true.
And I find that that extends to the whole world. And the reason it matters, because I'm sure a lot of people are like, you just said it's fun and everything's great about it. What's your fucking problem? Here's my problem, dipshit. <It's> that. How dare you interrupt me?
Hypothetical asshole.
Yeah. It matters to me because it bleeds into every aspect of the game, to the point where every character's dialogue tree is so short and basic and toy-like that I feel that I'm very strongly in a curated world. Like, almost like I'm on the line for the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland.
Yeah.
There's no suspension of disbelief. I am not of this world at all. I'm not trying to be. And I'm alone in this world. There's no real living characters for me to interact with.
Yeah.
There are only nodes that dispense lines of information.
And they don't even give you the translator card like they used to in that Indiana Jones ride. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So that's my rant.
Yeah. We didn't end up too far apart on this one, actually, which is interesting.
No. We're like Karosh and... See, there's no having to pull the dragon names this far.
That's fair.
I haven't played it in a long time now.
Oh, Zelda? You?
Yeah.
I just finished the most recent DLC, which I thought made the game worse. Both the DLCs
I played
the first
DLC all the way through, and I haven't touched that game since then. So yeah. That's my level of freshness.
Well, it wasn't as fun with the DLC, I'll tell you that.
What are the name of the three dragons?
Oh, God. Nadra.
You got it.
Oh, man, I don't remember them all.
Game on! As we pass our checkpoint again.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going back the way we came, because it's a Rockstar game.
Game on.
We passed another checkpoint. We're into the bulk of the podcast, where okay. We can just say whatever we want. So go ahead.
So wait, let's deal with the elephant in the room, right? Which is a thing that we're going to talk about this every time we do a Nintendo game. And so let's have the conversation.
We're picking
now.
That. Can you shut that elephant up? We're picking him up on the track.
Yeah.
Took a second.
I got you. No, I was with you. I was just waiting to see if there was going to be more.
More to the bit.
Fair
okay,
enough.
No,
yeah.
It was over.
The poor narrative of this game, which I think you wisely tied to what the fuck is Link's personality and what does he want, right? That's the issue. So I think Nintendo was, their backs were against the wall with this game, because I think they were like, what makes this game interesting is if there's no specific way you have to do it. You can do it any number of ways, and we're going to design a world where you can go any direction and progress. That's how they chose to do it, right?
And you keep saying that as if that's unique to this game. Is that not a well-established open world game?
No, so like, okay, so again, let's think of some of the... Now I'm putting this in the AAA
zone.
Early
Link games helped pioneer this.
Yes.
Like Link had one of the first things where you literally could, it was simple, but like you could do quest 3 and then 2 instead of 1, 2, 3.
But see, this is like,
but
you
since
can,
then all games are like that. Like,
no,
what's
no, no,
the
no,
big
no.
deal?
You can't play Grand Theft Auto in any order.
But
like, you have to do a certain number of missions before you unlock this mission node. And you have to do you have to get a certain number of stars in Super Mario 64 before you can go face Bowser.
Okay. Like, well, in Fallout, you can go in any direction. The only thing that stops you is there are enemies, places that you can't kill yet. And Zelda,
which is a gate,
also has... No, they're like, you can't go to the central area and fight the walkers immediately. As soon as you start the game, you'd be killed.
You could, though. But like, so
just
if you
like
wanted
to... Just like in Fallout,
to,
you could theoretically find a
enough.
Perfect corner and snipe and kill anything.
You,
but
I mean, I don't remember Fallout's mission structure identically to say this for sure. Mm-hmm. But like Zelda, you could finish that game in 15 minutes if you wanted to. Like, you could start the game, walk out that cave, run all the way down. Oh, no, you have to do the first
I was gonna say,
great plateau period.
Also, purely in theory, because you only have 3 hearts. And
sure,
on YouTube, there is a video of someone
Somebody
beating
did
the
it.
Game in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not the you or, you know,
no,
whoever's
it's
hearing
definitely
this.
Definitely not me.
But I mean, that's like some
that.
1% of 1% have
sure.
that experience. So who cares? That doesn't impact my experience of the game.
Well, did you feel... See, to me, this game felt less guided. Then
you know the original Myst you can beat in 3 minutes if you like know what the last thing you need to do is.
You're gonna hate me for this. I've never played Myst.
Oh well, just fun fact for people out there, if you remember what the last, you play the whole game to get to basically decode a series of clues that tell you
right.
the thing you do to beat the game.
That I know.
And
yeah.
if you know that going in, there's no bars on it. You can just go do it and they're like, how did you solve it so easily? It's pretty fun.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The white pages.
Wow, spoilers for Myst fans out
well,
there.
Well, you got to play Abduction, the new game by the Myst
team. I'm
going
to have to check that
it's
out.
It's really fun.
I
man.
Bet it's good. Yeah.
You were saying.
So I'm just going to talk about my experience then, just to so that we don't get tied down in when did this actually pop up first. Most games have a much more curated feeling than this one does. This game is very much not going to hold you by the hand. It's like, hey, man, you need to wake up these 4 beasts and find these places where these pictures took place if you want to get what the story's about.
Or, you know, you could wake up 3 or 1
yeah.
of the beasts.
Yeah, yeah, just yeah. whichever,
you can
however
trigger
many
the
you
final
want.
Boss fight whenever you think
yeah.
you're ready to
kinda,
go.
Kind of, what do you want to do, man? Go for it.
Yeah.
Like, and I will say that the narrative of it is more, I think, a tone than it is a story. That's how I feel about this game. Is like, I think if you had to say what happened, it's like there's a preamble that says, oh, 100 years ago, a bunch of things happened where Princess Zelda was preparing for Ganon to return.
It's not even that. I would boil it down further. 100 years ago, 100 years ago, evil won. So the place is evil. You're good. Then you win. The place turns good again.
Mm-hmm. Except for all the things that you uncover, like all the memories that you uncover, are about Zelda's anxiety about how to prepare for Ganon and not knowing her place.
Right.
She's the one that's actually going through a narrative journey of who am I supposed to be?
A tiny little narrative. A tiny, basic,
but she goes through one. Sure.
I'll give it to you, but it's like literally like the equivalent of a children's book narrative journey. It's not.
I think that's a pretty good analogy for Zelda.
Sure. And the tone, it's a tone poem and it does that wonderfully. But don't you, and I guess I'm just asking this, doesn't, like in the very difference between like a craftsman then becoming a factory made item, in order to make every story beat interchangeable, you have to sterilize every story beat because otherwise they can't be interchangeable.
That's the problem with the structure they chose.
So my point is, I strongly don't feel it's worth it because you're saying
narratively.
Well, you were saying it's so exhilarating to have these gates removed.
Yeah,
I disagree with that.
You being like the gates?
Positive, because in my mind, you know what a gate is? Story structure. And I want there to be story structure because I'm playing an artistic experience and I want to experience something that is structured and guided to see if I like it, dislike it, agree, disagree, what it makes me think about. It's harder for me to get invested in a world where I think Breath of the Wild is a really good Sudoku book.
Yeah.
Go to this temple.
I get it.
Figure out the puzzle. Go to the. It's a Sudoku book coupled with an overworld. So, like, turn the Sudoku page, fight some monsters, fill out the Sudoku puzzle, turn the page, fight some monsters, fill out the puzzle. And I liked all the puzzles and I liked fighting monsters and riding your hang gliders. Fucking awesome. The climbing system
really
is so viscerally satisfying that you have to strategize about where you're going to handhold and shit. I think you're dead on that climbing system should be brazenly stolen by every open world game.
It has
game.
To be. It's just great. It's stupid if you don't.
Like, if you're not going to do Assassin's Creed where it's hold X and climb, do the Breath of the Wild. Rip off one of those. That's all we need.
Horizon Zero Dawn, again.
Yeah. Prick up your ears, Horizon.
Well, that was the game that really suffered because of that specific thing. Because in Horizon Zero Dawn, you needed these, like, stupid yellow nodules with, like, rope between them to climb anywhere. And it was like, no.
Which is also how Uncharted works. And I think that's a problem. Starting to look dated.
Yeah.
It was an older game series, so you're like, well, they didn't know. But new games starting now...
Can't do it.
Yeah, and even Horizon, I don't think has an... You started too recently. By game two, you better be able to just free climb.
I mean, especially if you want us to buy how badass Aloy is. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
She is. Anyway, I don't want to get too
off. I can't
wait
to cover that, because I think it has a narrative that gave a shit about itself.
It did
a good job. But that's for another day.
Yeah.
So... I want to find out if I can love this game just for all the pieces. Mm-hmm. But when I look at it, I have to say the feeling I get is this melancholy tone that does make me feel winsome and like something cool is happening.
Yeah.
But the longer I played, the more I was like, oh no, I'm just lonely because this game is empty of any vibrancy or life.
Yeah.
I'm in a museum. And when you're in a museum, you feel kind of calm and lonely because
there's animals,
just
and stuff,
nothing
though.
Going on. Yeah, but I just felt like in that game, there's no life to it.
What's the difference between this game in terms of life and Red Dead Redemption?
What do you mean in the gameplay or the narrative?
I mean, so in terms of this feeling, you feel you walking around feeling like this place is just a museum. Why is this place a museum, but the world in Red Dead Redemption? I assume. Is not.
You assume correctly that I don't feel that way as much with Red Dead.
Right.
Because in Red Dead, when I'm riding along a ridge, I'll see a tiny dot on the horizon, go to it, and it's a dude. And
I see.
Then the dude will have a mystery to him, a point of view, and an agenda that I can choose to engage in or not based on, and I'll pause the game and be like, how do I feel morally about aiding this person? Do I even trust they're telling the truth?
Yeah.
My brain comes alive with all these questions about human interaction that I think add a great deal of depth to the story.
Mm-hmm.
It can't make a whole game. Case in point, I think L.A. Noire was like, everything I ever wanted from a game, then it was staggeringly boring to me.
I know.
Because
I wanted that game to be incredible.
Because a game is a toy.
Yeah.
And I do need the toy to be fun. And I do think Nintendo are masters of that, and I do give that full respect.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying there's something that makes me feel like I'm in a real world. And I know I'm never in a real world when I'm playing a video game, and I don't know why, but I want to try to suspend my disbelief. And Nintendo doesn't give me anything to latch on to try.
Yeah. Okay, so I think, because the way you described your Red Dead experience is like, well, that's exactly what Zelda's like. Like, you wander around, you find a person with a point of view.
But they only say one line of dialogue that's 6 words long.
And they don't actually say it, which is a problem that we've talked about with Super Mario and elsewhere. Like, and they don't actually say it. They just make a sound, right. And then you read it. Like,
and they can't be killed. They're always standing at that spot no matter what time of day or night it is.
That's true.
These little things that just make it seem like this is Disneyland. This is an animatronic statue.
Yeah, okay.
A dude, just the very fact that the dude on that ridge is not there at nighttime adds so much to my ability to be like, yeah, because he's sleeping somewhere. You know?
That's
like little details like that.
That's fair. Okay, yeah. So they don't have like a working ecology.
Although the townspeople go to sleep at night and the shops close in Zelda.
But I think
I would argue there's a lot of people who are just always standing where you need them to be if you need to go sell items to them.
I think I can concede that point to you without you feeling like you need to qualify it too much.
And I'm exploring, man. I'm not even coming from an anti-breath position. I'm trying to figure this shit out.
That's valid, though. Yeah. I mean, I remember when we talked about this offline before. Like, one of the things that I love the most about the game was the dragons. I love the dragons. And your response
now
was...
I can't even name them.
I can't even... Yeah, I forgot their names, man. They're inscribed in my heart somewhere.
Sure.
I remember when I talked about them last time with you, I was like, seeing the dragon for the first time when it was like nighttime and like one of them flies overhead and that music hits was like one of my favorite moments in games. And you were like, yeah, but they're on rails. But they're just on rails.
And let's be careful, because if you'll recall, this was the long digression that became so boring that we cut it out.
That's fair.
The first time we covered Breath of the Wild.
Fair. And I don't want to get digression, but this fits that point you were making.
They go on a loop, meaning at this, when your clock is at this second, it is always exactly at that pixel, versus being the dragons from Skyrim who fly around with a primitive AI reacting to stimuli.
And showing up at places... randomly, I'm putting that in quotes.
Quote unquote randomly.
Quote unquote randomly. That's true. All of that is true. I thought about that.
That's so true.
This is so true. I thought about that. And when I was playing the expansion this time around, I feel like I was more cognizant of it because it was like, oh yeah, I guess.
Can you?
I know where this dragon's going to be now because I've played it enough.
The second expansion was just a bunch more Korok Forest trials. What's the newest expansion at? Like, what's the concept?
That was the first expansion.
Yeah.
The second one. It's essentially like you get this one hit kill weapon that becomes a few more shrines.
Trident, right?
And then, you know, it becomes a few more shrines and ultimately opens up another temple and another beast that you have to wake up. And it's all a glorified trial from one of the monks.
But I would kill for another beast. Is the beast fun?
Yeah. It's not the best of them.
I'll probably buy it just for that. What was your favorite beast?
I want to say that I liked the elephant one the best.
I'm all about that camel.
Yeah. I thought the camel, the Gerudo world was more interesting than any of the other worlds, personally.
Just in case people haven't played, well, the beasts are basically giant robot animals.
Yeah.
But what they are functionally is every 100th Sudoku puzzle you finish unlocks a big badass master Sudoku puzzle with 100 grid square.
It's like that.
It's like a temple that's even more grandiose. And they are so well designed.
They're really well designed. They're all about sort of using the inner mechanics of the beast to unlock parts of the rooms and stuff.
It's a cool physics game.
Yeah, it's a physics game.
Which is so, I think if they led with that or marketed it that, Zelda fans would have been pissed leading up to it.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Which is why they didn't do it.
Awesome is the overworld being your traditional Zelda game.
Yeah.
But then the underground temples that are actually the bulk of the game.
Yeah.
Being a physics game tricked all the Zelda fans into giving it a chance. Well, you know, like people who are too closed off.
I don't think anybody played. I don't think a single Zelda fan played one of those shrines and was like, this sucks.
Right.
I think every single one of them was like, okay, good, you understand.
Which Zelda's is amazingly good. Ballsy for a toy company, which yeah. Consider that Zelda has always been about puzzles and temples, but the puzzle was this enemy's in this room. I got to go up here and jump down this thing. I got that key that, as you said, unlocks this gate.
Right.
Now I'm on floor two.
Right.
And in the meantime, there's lots of killing shit. This time it's like, there might be one or two monsters, or there might be zero monsters. It might be just a room with blocks and switches and a big pendulum.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pure physics puzzles. There's parts that feel like Portal. There's parts that feel like The Incredible Machine. You ever play that in school?
No.
I didn't know. Oh, The Incredible Machine's a great game. It's fun to look up. It's like a Minecraft, but you build contraptions. So I'll just say real quick and then we can move on.
Sure.
Look, if you want to have, if you've never heard of it, you can look up amazing ones people have made on YouTube.
I'll have to check that out. I like that you brought up Portal, because Portal actually shares a lot in common with this game, in that Portal is just puzzles. That's all it is, plus a narrative that brings you from room to room.
But specifically, the part of your brain it's trying to tickle is like spatial understanding.
Yeah, spatial understanding. And this game is doing a similar version of that, not through the same mechanics, but like that's what mostly you're doing. Is like trying to, okay, I have these five tools and I have to use them in some way to get this, you know, to get to this old man who's living forever in this force field.
Yeah.
You know?
And it causes his death, apparently, or he transcends, I don't know.
I think we're in kind of a Buddhist-y world where like he transcends this earthly plane.
So every time you complete a temple, the guy who's in stasis just Luke Skywalker's out.
I think you have to accept that on some
That's
level.
Fine.
They definitely, the last expansion gives you a little more story about the monks, which is dumb, in my opinion. okay, so that's all fine. So like, how did you feel about breakable weapons?
Didn't mind it, because I actually found that when I first noticed that was the system,
yeah,
I was so scared.
Yeah.
But again, everything about the game is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very well balanced.
Yeah.
And I didn't find myself having to bust my ass to do maintenance. I found myself having a good mix of pieces and weapons, and it encouraged me to get good at different types of weapons. And I was like, you did it again. Good mechanic. Well. The word is balanced. Everything
yeah,
is so
it's very balanced.
Well play tested and balanced. And the other watchword I think is really important is density.
Yeah, because there's shit everywhere in this game.
And I think
yeah.
In my experience of fun,
yeah,
it does obsolete things like GTA 5 and even Red Dead to some extent, some of the long rides. Open world games should be this dense with activity now. I want them all to reach the Breath of the Wild standard.
Yeah.
Because when you
I don't know how they're going to do that, but
when
yeah.
you add the Korok seed puzzles, which are brilliant because they're a slightly different kind of puzzle, so they just tickle a different part of your brain.
And easier. You know how many of them there are?
What, like 1,000 or something?
Almost 900.
900,
it's
yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That could be just a game on its own.
So as like, you're playing the game, you know for a fact that even if you're choosing to just pass by most because you have shit on your plate, there is a puzzle as close to you as there are spiders from you in real life right now. Like, there's always one within a few feet.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I got every single shrine. That's how big of a nerd I was.
I thought you were
going to
say Korok seed.
No. I've only got 90 Korok seeds, and I'm like, I get it. Like, I can't do 810 more of them.
Throwing snowballs down the hill.
I just can't do it. Yeah, I'm like, no, man. Like, also, I personally just don't like the Koroks. I think they're just fucking stupid.
Do you like the Porgs in Star Wars?
Last Jedi?
Yeah.
I don't hate them the way the internet seems to hate them.
Oh, I didn't know how people felt.
People were real mad about them.
I am great. I just can't.
They're fine.
I just can't abide it. It's become one of those things that's just a trigger for me.
Yeah.
Because it's so transparent of the executive boardroom experience, that is what I hate about movies.
We need a toy
movies.
To sell. Yeah.
Yeah. When a franchise that has no business doing it introduces a cute little animal, it just kills me. I cannot accept it. Even Moana.
Zelda's had some shit like that.
Fucking loved Moana.
Yeah, Moana's great.
But she already had, I think, like two sidekicks, and then they gave her that stupid chicken also.
Yeah.
I hate whatever executive was like. There's got to be a wacky looking shitty little thing.
I mean, we're so Like, what if we found out most of those were like the filmmaker really loved those things and felt like they were narratively necessary? Would that disappoint you more or less in that movie?
Or what if, like, oh, the clumsy chicken is the most revealed part of Hawaiian culture that you just weren't aware of? I'm like, I did not mean to disrespect the tradition of the clumsy boat-bound chicken.
Little did you know, on the like the entire
island. That's our Santa Claus, the chicken that is clumsy.
The entire island of Molokai is up in arms right now.
Yeah. Isn't that the leper one?
It is. I've been there, actually. They sell hazelnuts that are quite good.
And you ate these hazelnuts that the lepers sold you.
They were,
Well, I gotta go.
Not without my goodbye hug. they cured leprosy there.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway.
God bless them.
Yeah, it was great. It's a really nice place. So, I will say that the other, I mean, we could go on and on about what's great about this game. And I'll say one last thing that I think is unique to it. And that is, you have so many moments in this game by yourself exploring where you come over a mountain or something and just see this view of the place that's just like astounding. You know,
you
like,
realize I'm going to cut that audio. So you just say you have a lot of moments by yourself where you're exploring and you come and then I'm just going to stop. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Continue.
It's my catchphrase with the ladies.
Exactly.
Yeah. It really is like, I've just never had a game like it, and I've played every Far Cry game, and I've played a lot of games like that, where it's just everywhere you look is some amazing, like, picturesque place.
Uncharted as well.
Yeah, Uncharted is like that, but that's on rails.
You're supposed to be wowed by the surroundings. Yeah.
But I feel like this game was just every direction you look has to be great all the time, and it is. You know, and like there's a lot of different ecologies, and they're all interesting in their own way, and they don't feel dumb. That's pretty great. You know, like I don't know what else I want Zelda to be.
There's a lot of really good systems, like all the items you use to construct other items or trade for different items, all really well balanced against each other and interwoven well.
Did you cook a lot?
I cooked a ton. Yeah.
Did you? Once I figured out where you could get those hardy Dorians, I never had health problems again.
I never really relied on them. I like to cook a variety. I'm real chefy. Yeah.
I'm the same as I am
wore
in real
the
life.
Chef's hat.
I was like, oh, this is the food that gets me the energy I want, so I'm doing it.
Well, in real life, I've picked up a lot of great techniques from it, actually. Like, I didn't know. Did you know if you're cooking nuts and milk in a jar, you don't even need to open the jar. You just toss them both in a wok.
Yeah.
And now you have milky nuts, my favorite. I didn't even know that's where I was going with it, but my favorite dish.
Salty milky nuts.
Nutted
yeah.
milk. Yeah. Yes. But it really is like, I love how he's like, I'll just throw a live frog and a jar in here and some flowers.
And a fairy. And she'll bless it.
Kick it up a notch.
Yeah. Out comes like, you know, fish balls or whatever it is. Yeah.
It's like delicious rice paste.
Yeah.
But I did love the cooking system a lot, actually.
It was fun. Very playful.
To me, the best things are the cooking and the hang glider.
The hang glider is amazing. Like, when I saw the commercial for this, I was like, hang glider, that seems stupid. And like not very Zelda-y to me. Yeah, man, because like Zelda's like a by-foot thing.
But is boomerang super Zelda-y?
Yeah, because it's in the first game.
But
it's
then
like,
hang glider's no more random than him having a boomerang.
I know. I'm one of these guys. Right. I'm one of these stupid guys that has an opinion about it.
Good to find that out about you.
Yeah. Whereas the minute you start playing with the game and you get the hang glider, you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, I know you said in both, because you said this in Mario Odyssey too. You're like, man, it really worked on me when you get to Bowser's castle and it finally plays, or Peach's castle plays the theme.
Oh, God.
And then
that was a great moment.
It's the exact same trick, and it's even also a castle.
Oh,
you finally get to
the
Ganon's
theme,
castle and it plays the Zelda theme.
But it's like a 70s tense-inspired version of it. Yeah, but it did work. You're right. That worked on me because they deny it to you the entire time.
Right.
You don't get to have it. You're like, where's my Zelda theme, man? No, man, we're just going to give you a couple of notes on a piano.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel real sad for hours.
Yeah.
And then you finally get there and you get the theme and it's great. It is transparent. I'll give you that.
Yeah. And I'm just, the only last thing I'll say about the gating.
Yeah.
And the idea of guidance.
Yeah.
And the reason I think I got to stop just saying Skyrim. Or I don't want to say even
but
a Bethesda
it is a
game.
Good example of everything you're...
Right. The world feels very open because my quest log has 18 things in it and I can go to any in any order.
Right.
But it's true that there is stuff I can't do yet. There's gated sequencing. I think that is highly preferable because it avoids things like Hestu, who is the giant Korok, who's the only way to level up your I forget.
You get more spots in your inventory.
Right, right. The only way to expand your inventory.
Yeah.
So, and it is, dude, I went through half the game with only a 5-slot inventory, thinking that that was just how the game worked.
Oh, because you didn't meet him.
Because I never met him.
Why didn't you meet him?
Because as soon as I had the freedom to climb any surface and hang glide off of it,
yeah.
Why would I walk on the road to town? Every time I ever, and they put it on the road to town because they think everyone will encounter him there.
Because they realize that's what most people will do.
But as soon as they're like, you can go anywhere, I'm like, then of course I'm going to fucking go off in the one direction that looks like you don't want me to go there, like to test the boundaries. I'm going to go to the big maze first and die 20 times.
Sure.
Then come back to town. And I literally is like, what's that fucking guy? Who's that over there?
Yeah, what's his deal? Yeah.
And I talked to him and he's like, did you know the game doesn't have to be insufferably difficult? With the amount you have, you could buy 20 inventory slots, you dipshit. Like, what? Where were you? We were all waiting.
I've been playing maracas without seeds in them for years.
And I can't believe, at the very least, you're not even willing to provide the guidance of, like, there weren't even other characters that I interacted with who were like, you know, your bag looks a little smaller, son. Legend tells of a guy named Estu on the road to town.
It's weird that you didn't at least squeeze it from the lifeless body of a member of the Yiga clan or whatever. Yeah. It's true. Although, like,
how
I do,
do I expand my slots? Tell me.
You must fight the evil Yiga clan first. It's funny to me that you, having avoided the roads, still think it's the game's fucking fault. Like, because it's like, that's like if you played Grand Theft Auto and they were like, here's this car, drive it if you want to get to your next objective, you're like, no, man, I'm gonna walk there.
But Grand Theft Auto gives you a yellow line that goes to that thing.
Fair enough.
And I'm not gonna,
but that's what a road is.
Sometimes that's too much guidance.
Yeah,
but I guess conceptually it felt like they were pushing really hard that the selling point was mobility.
They were. You're right.
So what I actually did, I wasn't actually trying to be difficult. What I actually did was immediately climb the highest peak I saw.
Smart.
And then hang glide to somewhere that looked interesting. And that's how I traveled for the rest of the game. And I never thought to use roads because climbing was fun and hang gliding was fun.
Yeah.
And thereby I was fucked.
That's so good.
And
I
just think that's
that.
A strong argument for...
give them some structure.
Where I don't understand why structurelessness is an asset.
Why didn't they give you that character on the Great Plateau that you had to finish before you could get the hang glider?
Right.
That would have helped.
Or have him like say something and then say, I'll see you out there. Then you at least know, I got to be looking
for that
guy.
I got to find that fucking guy. Yeah, the guy with the maracas. I got to find him. That's fair. I still think it's amazing that you played half this game with five inventory slots.
I had my
slots.
Whole house built and everything before I...
See, now it took me forever to find the house, like to build the house. Like, I went to the town.
It's
but
all
I, didn't...
I stumbled into that guy and was like, okay, well, that's a thing I'll do then.
Yeah. I mean, so have you done the Hero's Path thing from the first expansion?
Yeah.
So I did that after I played the second expansion and beat it all the way through. I was like, okay, well, the last thing I'm going to do with this game is see what place I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And then go look at it. And because I was like, why not? And there was a bunch
of
places that I haven't been. It was like, shit, I thought I'd seen everything. Yeah, man, if you go back, I think that was a smart addition is like, now that you've played this whole game, because that's kind of what the expansions are, is like, now you've played the whole game, you get it. Now here's some things to make it a little easier and more
fun. Almost like scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I cut you off in the middle, I think, but you're saying the third one, you get this item that kills everything in one hit, but you only have half a heart the whole time.
Correct.
So instead of a traditional DLC where it's like, more levels of the same thing. They were like, these are like modifiers.
Right. What if we made it more difficult for a period of time and you get, and the reward you get is not having to deal with the things that we did to make the game hard at the end. Like in the first expansion, your Master Sword finally becomes fucking functional, which I hated about that game. Yeah. I was like, come on, man. I have the Master Sword. That shit should work all the time.
Right.
And it was like, no, man. You know, like, but then when you beat the first thing, it works better. Okay. Do you have any joke observations or a conversation about the cultural impact?
Well, there's two major points. Yeah. One that is pretty cut and dry is probably the person in the game with the most lines of dialogue is the architect who constructs your house.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know why Nintendo decided to take the only like major writing swing they were going to take at just retrograde blatant homophobia.
It's bad.
This guy is saying like, hey, don't touch my saw if you don't know how to push it. And then he calls to his apprentice and says, now let's get on this wood. And it fades to black. And the sound effect is, and it comes back and they're like, phew, we built another part of your house. And you're like, okay, did you have to deeply offend me while you did it? Could you have just built the addition on the house? And he's wearing a pink shirt and leopard print pants. Not that gay dudes look amazing in those things, but it's just, it rang as incredibly throwbacky and stereotypical.
I think he also has a right ear pierced. Yeah. It's like just the things from our childhood that were used to indicate right. a gay person.
Yeah.
All of them were applied
dated.
To this man.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, that's true. I laugh because hearing it summarized, it's so insane. Yeah. When you're playing it, you're like, this is not great, but you don't like, but yeah. hearing it out loud, it's like, oh my God.
And
I can't
you're like,
that's
one of the only character choices they made. So it's like
what
it
is
stands
this?
Out.
Yeah, I don't understand. I want to say that I think it's weird. Like, so because of the relationship with Mipha and Link,
right.
Mipha, who's
the
fish princess. Yeah. Zora. She's a Zora princess. Uh-huh. We know that there is such a thing as love between species.
Right.
So why
That's the
don't
other thing
we have
say.
Any more other mixed species couples?
Why is there not a half fish, half bird person who's uncomfortable both underwater and on the land?
Or right. You assumed it would go bad, which is fair. Why don't the Gorons and the Gerudo mix? You know what I mean? Like why?
Well, the Gerudo are the all-female society, right?
So and I think Goron are all male.
Then they should figure it out. They should get together and figure it out.
Get an ambassador, have a conversation, you know, like, right. I mean, I think the legend has it that the Gerudo women are they're doing this because of Ganon, because Ganon was a Gerudo years, like the only male Gerudo we've ever seen, I think.
And of course, he's the biggest dick of them all.
Right, of course, right. Yeah, sure. But it's strange that the Goron and the Gerudo have a...
Well, because it leaves only two possibilities, which is... They're a completely segregated society where interbreeding is like completely taboo.
Right.
But I mean, even that doesn't fully there would still be standout examples.
Well, if that was true.
My point is they got to be murdering. Like
they have to be murdering those babies.
Any hybrid yeah. kid just gets killed.
They have to be doing that. Because if that was true, then Mipha's brother would have been like, you are an abomination. You know what I mean? Like,
because she openly flirts with Link and pines for Link.
Absolutely. And Link would have been excluded from the kingdom.
And everyone accepts it as a possibility. Yeah. Like, it doesn't happen, but they could have gotten together.
It could have happened.
And you're like, well, then what would have happened? Would they have fish babies kill the fish babies?
Right. Yeah. Are all of her genes dominant? You know, like, how does it work?
Or maybe it's like, you know, there are different species on Earth that can breed and the production is sterile.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, maybe these four races, or I don't want to say races because that's an important difference. They're different species, not different races.
That's true. Do we see somebody who's not white? Or do we see somebody who's not...
In this room? No.
But I mean, do we see somebody in the game who's clearly not meant to be a white person or a Japanese person?
Only Ganon, I guess, I feel like is almost made to look insultingly Middle Eastern. Like they're trying to imply he's evil.
Except for the red hair, right?
East. Yeah.
So the Gerudo are still human. They're a different race of people,
the
I guess.
Goron, I don't feel like you can call them human. They're trolls or
something. Oh, no, but they have an island race. So they do have variety of races in this game.
My point is maybe everyone's chill with bird person fucking fish person.
Sure.
But they're too genetically incompatible to produce offspring. And that makes it even more romantic if you choose a cross-species mate.
Sure.
Because it just means you're not going to have kids.
Yeah, that you're living just for you.
And I don't like that if you're trying to in any way apply it as an analogy to human races.
Oh, no, no. It's
but
impossible.
It's not because they're animal species. Yeah.
Is that what we decided? That the Goron are basically glorified animals?
No, I'm saying humans are glorified animals.
Fair
this
enough.
This is a very different topic, but.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I'm saying
I see
that
what you mean. Yeah.
A human animal is different than a bird person.
Oh, I see.
And I don't want that misconstrued. For people to say, is it an analogy for how a Latino person is different from an Asian person?
Right.
No, because one of the key things that I think morons don't understand is we're all the same thing.
Right.
Right.
Genetically,
this shit like Bright where it's like, you know what's a handy analogy for different races? What if fairies and orcs couldn't get along? That's not a good analogy because we're all the same thing. Like, orcs and fairies are not the same thing.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I understand now.
Now it's
clear. We've gotten deeply into the genetics of the world of Hyrule, which I respect. Sure. Don't you think it's weird how good at inventing stuff people used to be in Hyrule and how bad they are at
yeah,
it now?
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird to me.
All the knowledge has been lost. I mean, maybe that's Ganon's effect. There's some dummy curse over the land.
So, but like, it's like almost every, it's like a weird rule of fantasy that like once upon a time we had this like almost magic ability to invent shit.
The precursors are the ancient
totally
ones.
Yeah, but most of the time there isn't a precursor race. Most of the time it's just us. And then we just lost all the secrets.
Right.
And now we're this shitty
version.
And
it's just because it's like, really, all of them? You couldn't hold on to some of those secrets?
Like, nobody can look at how one of these camel monsters works and be like, let's just put this cog here and see if we can make another one. That's weird to me.
No, because they're not allowed to leave their little place that they stand on eternally waiting for Link. Because that's what... And
well, maybe Link could hang glide the plans over to another person. Yeah.
They try to cop out of it in a lot of these games. Soul Calibur does the same thing where they're like, the reason the story's so fucking repetitive is that it's an ancient prophecy that is a cycle that's eternal. That's an important part of the narrative.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's not an important part of the narrative. It's retconning the fact that you're going to do the same story every time. You're just trying to excuse it with a thing.
If you're going to do the cycles of history as a narrative, fine, but you have to find a reason why we watched this cycle.
This iteration. Then it's like, well, why didn't we watch 3,000 iterations from now? Would it have been identical?
Right. And do I care? You know, that's reasonable. So here's the thing that's going to offend you deeply, and I'm going to enjoy telling it to you. So at the end of the last expansion, they give you an ancient motorcycle.
No!
They do!
How much does it look like a motorcycle?
It looks like a motorcycle that's made of a unicorn with a unicorn's head. Oh, I'm not exaggerating. God. It's really dumb.
Dear God.
It's real dumb. It's like, why did you do that? Yeah. Like, just, I can already warp places. I don't need this. They did it, though.
Is it different to ride around than the horse or the...
Of course it is. It's different, but it's stupid.
It's stupid. Okay.
Yeah. Give me Epona, bros.
Yeah.
Like, give me the horse I remember from Ocarina of Time. Right. That would be cool. It's like, here's your perfect horse.
Ooh,
and the flute that gets it
there.
You know
what I think would be a great addition? Epona as few polygons as she had in 64. Like, if you had 64 a low-res Epona, that'd be great.
If you're going to break the game, may as well go whole hog and give you...
Exactly.
Speaking of whole
hog... I would ride around a whole hog.
Speaking of whole hog, this was my least favorite Zelda game for boss battles. All the boss battles were stupid, I thought.
And pretty interchangeable. Other than the final Ganon fight.
Whereas Ocarina of Time, which is to me the best, like each boss was memorable
reason or the other. At the end of the day, I still do prefer, and this is just taste.
Yeah.
I still do prefer the model where it's like the whole Deco Tree is little puzzles, but the whole thing is an overarching puzzle.
You like the temples.
And you have to keep a lot of threads in your head at the same time and be like, but I saw that closed door back there. Oh, I bet this thing pushes down there. Like, I like that versus these, which were all very well executed puzzles that all had no relation to each other. It's like,
that's true.
Go underground in this chamber, solve the puzzle in this chamber. That chamber's done.
These puzzles were harder than the puzzles
on the whole.
But they were isolated enough that you didn't have to solve seven things.
Right.
I did miss getting a map and a compass and the things that were traditional to Zelda. Sometimes you miss it, but not like, oh, if this game had, it'd be better. Just like, oh yeah, that's a thing about Zelda that I kind of miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great game though.
Well, then I think it's time to make our decision.
Yeah. Keep or delete, right? So you go first.
Well, let us doff our caps to the checkpoint as we pass it. We must note it or I'll have no place to place the sound effect. Now we're entering the final boss area.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have used that phrase in this episode.
That's okay.
That was going to be the name of our scrapped version of this podcast before final bosses.
It's fine.
It's final bosses.
Fine. But this is where Ganon lies. We have to battle him with our opinion.
And decide whether our giant light arrow pierces him. Zelda's
that is what
ghost
happens.
Helps you. I don't remember.
She gives you the light arrow, so that happens. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. And then you fly up and hit him in the head with it.
Yeah. So
keep or delete.
But you answer it first this time, right? It's your
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Keep.
Agreed.
Did I say delete the first
time? You
did. I did.
Which is interesting.
And I've come around to keep.
Yeah.
Maybe because the episode we recorded right before this is GTA 5, so my standards for games are, I'm like, you know what? It's at least it's a force for good in the world.
No,
like,
right.
When I played Zelda, I didn't feel like, what are humans doing? Like, why are we like this?
I just think, like, again, Zelda's a game, at least one of them has to be on the hard drive forever. Because it's a really important game franchise.
Okay, then tougher, you know, question.
Well, which one?
Well, if it's between this and Ocarina.
Ocarina.
Okay, then not tough. Also Ocarina.
Yeah, I'd keep them both. I mean, like, if I was to go...
We're not going
to
pit them. Like, we may cover Ocarina, and we're still allowed to keep it, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like we have to just pick the one.
Sure.
Like, there's going to be three or four Mario games that are in this list, because there are. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it is.
Like,
you know?
8 or 11 Sonic games.
Are there even 11 Sonic games?
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
There's not either, dude.
Sonic, Sonic 2, Sonic & Knuckles, Sonic Spinball, Sonic Adventures. God, there was the one on the 32X, but I can't remember what it's called. Dude, Sonic Mania.
I've played maybe two of these, if that.
Sure.
Are there more Sonics than Mega Man?
No, I doubt that.
There's so many Mega Man.
Because Mega Man got to like X-2. Which one is this even?
They've just recently made Mega Man 10, I think.
I think there are more than 10, though.
Like, you can get a collection of Mega Man right now.
Right. In fact, you should, because we're sponsored by Mega Man. Mega Man, Mega Man's toughness curve can sometimes be too much.
That's why I think the second one's the best of those games.
The one I mentioned, X2, was my favorite. That's a good game, too. I really like that one.
Yeah. Anyway, great work, Nintendo. That was a really good one.
Game over. I didn't mean all talking should cease, but what were you going to say? Good job, Nintendo.
Yeah, I think this is.
You fucking fanboy.
That's fine. Hey, man, they launched this console with this game, and it's a home run.
It's a home run. It's a great game.
It's really good.
You couple that with Odyssey. Home run.
Yeah, I know. It's like a really, like, how are they going to top it next year?
Well,
who knows?
But it's funny. The trade off is I bought my Switch hoping there would be some non Nintendo games in between. And it's like, no. This device is for playing the five good games that will come out.
There's L.A. Noir's on it.
Stuff exists, and I know, but it's mainly like, why'd you buy the Switch? Mario, Zelda, Metroid.
Right, and you got two of those three.
Splatoon, yeah.
Yeah, Smash Brothers and Mario Kart.
I can't wait for whatever iteration. It will be inevitable, I'm sure.
It'll be this year.
Yeah.
It has to be.
But there hasn't been any footage or talk about it yet, right?
No, but I don't think that's like a hard game.
I'm just saying it's not even necessary to say they're going to do it. They'll do it. There will be another Smash Brothers.
There has to be, because, like, again, this year, 2018, they've already done Mario and Zelda. So right. they're fucked if they don't come out with something like Smash Bros.
They did their iteration.
They ported a version of Kart. Yes.
Oh, was that just a port?
It was
from
a port.
Wii U.
Wasn't a new one. Yeah.
Oh, because I never had the U, so I didn't.
Didn't okay. either.
So they could still squeeze out another Kart
in a couple years, probably
in 2 years.
Yeah, but something this year they need.
They have
something
a Metroid
this year.
Coming out soon,
but that's in a year or two.
Splatoon is the new one they're trying to get.
That already came out. They're in some trouble.
Oh, good. No,
it's
I'm
Smash
happy.
Brothers.
That means it's Smash Brothers.
It's got to be Smash Brothers.
It's Smash Brothers o'clock, motherfuckers. All right. Well, we'll see you next week to cover Smash Brothers.
That's right.
Work complete.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.